नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर फोर एंटाइटल हिरण्यकशिपु टेररिजेस द यूनिवर्स टेक्स्ट 9-12 We'll read the 12th one. Tasmin Mahendra Bhavane Mahabalo What is the right tune for this? तस्मिन् महेन्द्र भवने महाबलो महामना निर्जित लोक एकराण रेमे भिवन्ध्यांग्रि युगः सुरादिभिः प्रतापितैरूर्जित चण्डशासनः तस्मिन् महेन्द्र भवने महाबलो महामना निर्जित लोक एकरा रेमे भिवन्द्यांघ्रि युगः सुरादिभिः प्रतापितैरूर्जित चण्डशासनः The demigods, however, being very much oppressed, had to bow down and offer obeisances at the feet of Hiranyakashipu, who chastised the demigods very severely and for no reason. Thus Hiranyakashipu lived in the palace and severely ruled everyone. Actually, the translation is from 9 to 12. I'll read the whole thing. The steps of King Indra's residence were made of coral. The floor was bedecked with invaluable emeralds. The walls were crystal and the columns of Vaidurya stone. The wonderful canopies were beautifully decorated. The seats were bedecked with rubies and the silk bedding, as white as foam, was decorated with pearls. The ladies of the palace, who were blessed with beautiful teeth and the most wonderfully beautiful faces, walked here and there in the palace, their ankle bells tinkling melodiously, and saw their own beautiful reflections in the gems. This is the background. The demigods, however, being very much oppressed, had to bow down and offer obeisances at the feet of Hiranyakashipu, who chastised the demigods very severely and for no reason. Thus Hiranyakashipu lived in the palace and severely ruled everyone. Purport. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful in the heavenly planets that all the demigods except Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu were forced to engage in his service. Indeed, they were afraid of being severely punished if they disobeyed him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has compared Hiranyakashipu to Maharaj Vena, who was also atheistic and scornful of the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. Yet, Maharaj Vena was afraid of some of the great sages such as Bhrigu, whereas Hiranyakashipu ruled in such a way that everyone feared him but Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Hiranyakashipu was so alert against being burned to ashes by the anger of great sages like Bhrigu that by dint of austerity He surpassed their power and placed even them under His subordination. It appears that even in the higher planetary systems, to which people are promoted by pious activities, disturbances are created by asuras like Hiranyakashipu. No one in the three worlds can live in peace and prosperity without disturbance. Srimad Bhagavatam is the absolute truth placed. And it is made more palatable and more easily digestible through beautiful stories and incidences from the history of this universe. Bhagavad Gita or the Upanishads are the law books, and Srimad Bhagavatam is like the law journal, wherein the law books are very dry, comprehensive quotations of the stringent laws of nature and the purpose of creation. While in the journal you find incidences of they being followed, what was the result, and they being not followed, what was the result. So by reading the incidences, the principles are understood, and the relevance of purport is how to apply those truths which happened then in this day and age in a way that can be applicable for us. That's the glory of a purport in the parampara. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu. So the purports are actually emphasizing the same truth, bringing down the same truth, what happened millions of years ago, and those truths are translated into very practical ways by which we can actually apply them in our day-to-day lives. So, here is a description of one particular series of verses wherein the beauty of the heavenly planets is described so much in detail, how it was made of crystal, jewels and emeralds and coral and whatnot. And also, moving around were beautifully faced ladies with shining teeth, moving around here and there, looking in the pillars and at their reflections. Everything is perfectly conducive to enjoyment. But the demigods are miserable simply because the ruler is a tyrant. So there are few statements that Prabhupada is extracting through this principles. And one thing is, few statements like that, if we look for in the purport those statements which bring the universal truth, and then see some statements where Prabhupada says, what do we learn from this, what do we do about it. One statement that I thought was very significant: Hiranyakashipu was so alert against being burned to ashes by the anger of great sages like Bhrigu that by dint of austerity, he surpassed their power and placed even them under his subordination. Hiranyakashipu did tremendous austerity. And what was the purpose of the austerity? The purpose of his austerity was actually against the law. And therefore, his whole austerity was defeated. Tapasya. He did a lot of tapasya actually. Tapasya means, Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Instruction, voluntary acceptance of inconvenience. That is tapasya. You don't like it, but you accept it nevertheless. Temporary acceptance of inconvenience voluntarily for a future longer benefit. That is austerity. But then, those who perform this austerity for something material are called alpamedasa, less intelligent. Or as we were discussing the other day in Bhagavad Gita class, poor fund of knowledge. Prabhupada's favorite, one kind of very regular, often used words, phrase, poor fund of knowledge. Therefore, Narada Muni also explains, Aradhito yadi harihi tapasatatah kim. Na aradhito yadi harihi tapasatatah kim. Aradhito yadi hari. If you are worshipping the Lord, then tapasatatah kim. There, what else need is there for any other austerity? Na aradhito yadi hari tapasatatah kim. And if you are ultimately not worshipping the Supreme Lord, then what is the use of austerity? This is a very nice way of putting as to what is austerity. The definition of austerity is said here very nicely. Aradhito hadi yadi hari tapasatatah kim. If you are worshipping the Supreme Lord, what else tapasya is required? And if you are not worshipping the Supreme Lord, what's the use of austerity? Which means, what is austerity? To worship the Supreme Lord. It is very simple. Here is Hiranyakashipu, so much intense, tremendous austerity. Unbelievable, never even performed by any of the demigods. But then, he's always in anxiety. Sadasamudvigna dhyam asagrahat. Prahlad Maharaj, being very intelligent, immediately diagnosed Hiranyakashipu's problem. A great learned person who is deeply realized can immediately go to the essence of the problem. And not only that, give a practical solution to address at the root where all the symptoms can eventually disappear. That's the glory of these great souls, Saragrahi, who have understood the essence of scriptures. They see a situation, so many people with less intelligence, thinking themselves to be very intelligent, come out with some symptomatic relief, thinking that this is going to solve the problem, because they don't see the whole picture. They just see a part of it. But the great acharyas go to the essence. Just a small symptom, first beginning of the little symptom, and immediately go to the root of the problem. They can detect it. Others are seeing, just like an expert physician, just may touch the pulse beat and immediately tell you everything that is wrong inside and what is the root cause. But in a grosser way, you may take all the scans and rays and x-ray and this and everything and still not be able to locate. Prabhupada once came and stood in front of the altar in one temple and he said, looks like nobody is chanting here properly. Just by looking at the deity, he was able to understand the consciousness of people within the temple. Or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw his disciples just, you know, fighting over some small situation of who will occupy which room, and he said, Agunjolbe, there will be a fire in this mutt. So he could, and therefore he gave practical, just before leaving his body, he gave a very, very down-to-earth practical thing, suggestion of how to address it. Where should we take actual shelter? So, what is the greatest austerity? I thought about this. Can anyone say, what is the greatest austerity then? I was thinking, the greatest austerity is Mahaprabhu's third verse of Sikshashtakam. ತೃಣಾದಪಿ ಸುನೀಚೇನ ತರೋರಿವ ಸಹಿಷ್ಣುನ ಅಮಾನಿನ ಮಾನದೇನ ಕೀರ್ತನೀಯ ಸದಾಹರಿ. ಕೀರ್ತನೀಯ ಸದಾಹರಿ ಆರಾಧಿತೋ ಯದಿ ಹರಿ, ದ ಬೆಸ್ಟ್ ವೇ ಟು ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ ಇನ್ ಕಲಿಯುಗ ಇಸ್ ಕೀರ್ತನೀಯ ಸದಾಹರಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಫೋರ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ಸ್, ತೃಣಾದಪಿ ಸುನೀಚೇನ ಬಿಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಹಂಬ್ಲರ್ ದೆನ್ ದ ಬ್ಲೇಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಗ್ರಾಸ್, ತರೋರಿವ ಸಹಿಷ್ಣುನ ಟಾಲರೆಂಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಎ ಟ್ರೀ, ಅವಮಾನಿನ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ನೋ ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್, ಮಾನದೇನ ಆಫರಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಅದರ್ಸ್. ಸಚ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಕೀರ್ತನೀಯ ಸದಾಹರಿ. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ ಟು ಥಿಂಕ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ವಿ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಆಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಬಿಗ್ ಈಗೋ, ವಿ ಥಿಂಕ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ದ ಸೆಂಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್. ಆರ್ ಆಸ್ ಕುಂತಿದೇವಿ ಸೇಸ್, ತ್ವಾಂ ಅಕಿಂಚನ ಗೋಚರಂ. ಅಕಿಂಚನ, ಕಿಂಚನ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಕಿಂಚಿತ್, ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಅಟ್ ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ಐ ಓನ್, ಅಟ್ ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ಓವರ್, ಅಟ್ ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟೆಡ್, ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ದಿ ಎಂಜಾಯರ್. ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ಬಿಲಾಂಗ್ಸ್ ಟು ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ನೋ ಡೌಟ್, ಬಟ್ ಅಟ್ ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಕಿಂಚಿತ್. ಬಟ್ ಅಕಿಂಚನ ಇಸ್ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ಲಿ ಇಸ್ ಕನ್ವಿನ್ಸ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಟೋಟ್ಲಿ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ 24 hours ಎ ಡೇ for the under in the shelter of the Lord. I am dependent on the Lord, and therefore he will is always catching hold, just like a man who is drowning in the ocean and who has a rope in his hand is conscious that if I am just floating around, it's still because I am holding on to this. So in any state he knows, if I leave this I am finished. So it's like that. ಕಲಿಕಾಲೆ ನಾಮ ರೂಪೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅವತಾರ, ವಿ ಹೋಲ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ಥ್ರೂ ದಿ ಹೋಲಿ ನೇಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಟು ದಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ವಿ ನೋ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಹೋಲ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಮೀ ಆನ್, ನಾಟ್ ಮೈ ಎನಿ ಎಂಡ್ ಜನ್ಮ ಐಶ್ವರ್ಯ ಸುತ ಶ್ರೀಭಿರ್ ಏದಮಾನ ಮದ. ಸೊ ದ ರಿಯಲ್ ಆಸ್ಟರಿಟಿ, ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣದಾಸ್ ಕವಿರಾಜ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಪುಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ ಅವರ್ ನೆಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ try to follow it. This is the greatest austerity. Otherwise, here is a person who was so alert. This is another very interesting. Prabhupada says here, Hiranyakashipu was so alert against being burned to ashes by the anger of great sages. He was alert. Krishna says in the Gita, there are two kinds of people. The materially conditioned souls and the liberated souls. And there are completely opposite to each other. Totally. Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati sayami. Yasyam jagrati bhutani sa nisha pashyato mune. What is night for a self-realized soul is full-fledged bright daylight for the conditioned soul. And what is night for the conditioned soul is daylight, bright sun for the liberated soul. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions three things. I generally call it the triple A formula. Between test, it's like a litmus test. Whether you are conditioned or whether you are liberated, or at least on the way to liberation. You have a triple A formula, just like you have triple S. It's triple A. And he says, A is activity, absorption, and alertness. Activity is on the bodily platform. Absorption is on the mental platform, and alertness is on the intelligence platform. So, a materialist is also extremely active. In fact, they are more active than the devotees, always. Because their faith in the fact that they are the body is more deeper and stronger than the devotees' faith that they are not the body, they are the soul. So when something is very, very tangible, you can work with full enthusiasm. Nishchaya. You can't get utsaha unless you are nishchaya.
If you're sure you're on the right track, you'll be very enthusiastic to quickly walk the track. But if you are not sure, then, you know, you'll be a little hesitant to dive in and put your mind, body, soul, and everything. Manasa deha geha joki chumor. So, their activity, they are active. They are also absorbed, totally absorbed. And they are also very alert. Actually, Sukadeva Goswami, so eloquently, in the second canto, beginning of second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Parikshit Maharaj asked him the question, he begins the second canto, so eloquent description of materialistic consciousness, a person in materialistic consciousness. In just three verses, he says, that is eloquence. How crisp you can put this, but how comprehensive simultaneously. So first thing he says, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Ninam Santi Sahasrashaha Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. Atmatattvam. Atmatattvam means one who is fixed on the self. When the living entity comes to this material world, he is married to a body. And they tie a knot, just like at marriage. They go seven times. Three times, seven times, whatever. And then their cloth is tied into a knot. Very significant. So similarly, Maya Devi brings the jiva, brings a material body, and ties the knot. And the knot is the false ego. So she ties the soul to the false ego. The false ego is tied to the intelligence, and then is tied to the mind. The mind is tied to the body or the ether, and then it's earth. It's like an engine. In the engine moves, the whole coach moves. So the engine is the soul, and that linked to the first compartment, that is the false ego. That's contained to the intelligence, to the mind, and everything. Wherever you go, everything follows. So, when the Atmatattvam, one who knows who he is, what is the absorption of such a person who is not aware? Apashyatam, one who doesn't see that, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nanam Santi Sahastrasha. Look at his absorption. There are so many subject matters to be absorbed. And we see in this world, sometimes there is a wave. A huge wave, or for 1 month, or 2 months, or 3 months, there is a sports wave, cricket wave. Everyone is absorbed in this consciousness. Everyone is talking about it. Everyone is discussing it. Everyone is, you know, fully conscious, absorbed. Then there is some election comes and everyone is absorbed. Then there is some market rate going up and going down. Everyone is absorbed. Then there is some political event. Everyone is absorbed. Then there is some special event happening. Everyone is absorbed. Then some national festival. Everyone is absorbed. Then youth festival. Something is absorbed. Wave after wave after wave. A whole ocean of absorption. From one to the other, to the other, to the other. Whereas, in the life of a devotee, he's also absorbed. One festival after another, one event after another. We also discuss so many, the devotees also discuss so many subjects. Politics, history, geography. Everything is there, but the center is the Lord. Absorption is the Lord. So, first thing he says. Next he says, apashyatam atmatattvam grihe. Then he says, what is their activity? Nidraya hrite naktam vyavayena chavavayah divacharthi haya rajan kutumba bharanenava. How is their activity throughout the day? We have a day and night. Nidraya hrite naktam.
either by sleep or by sense enjoyment. And divacha arthe ihaya rajan. Kutumba bharanenava. How to improve the material condition of life. How to improve the status. Slightly better. Let me move to little higher status. From low income to middle to high, high to super high, to the top one. So the whole activity is geared towards improving the material condition. And the height of it is Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu is like a Mahajan as regards materialistic way of improving the position of material life. No one, na bhuto na bhavishyati. This is the supreme example of a person who did austerity, who was so alert and who was absolutely absorbed. He was so absorbed that in spite of thousands years of austerity, his absorption on hatred for Vishnu didn't go. So absorbed, because his whole purpose of austerity was to defeat. He was so fixed up. Everything is the same. He was determined. He was one-pointed. He was absorbed. He was active. He was alert. But alert to sense gratification. How can I get the best out of this body? Improve the body and improve the sense gratification for the body. Supreme most example. He was absorbed. And he was really active in terms of performing austerity to achieve. He was determined. He was one-pointed. So, but the result was futile. And then it talks about alertness. Alertness is in the next one. Deha apatya kalatradishu atmasainyeshu asatsu api tesham pramatto nidhanam pashyan api na pashyati. An alert person can see even before it is seen. That is a highly visionary, highly alert person can see a small sign and immediately take precaution. But a person who is not alert, pashyannapi na pashyati. Somebody is stealing and he still can't see. He doesn't see. That means he is not alert. His eyes are open, but he is not seeing. So pashyannapi na pashyati. What does he not see? Deha, my body, apatya, extension in the form of children, kalatra, my wife, atma sainyeshu, and all my other things which I am keeping to protect me, asatsu api, they are all temporary, no one has remained, tesham pramatto nidhanam, nidhanam, they are all gone, but pramattaha. A madly intoxicated person is not alert. And therefore he pashyanapina pashyati. He says nobody has lived. He himself is telling that everything ultimately goes away, and he is convincing his mother and his sister-in-law about the nature of this world. And then he goes to perform austerity to go against this. That is maya apahrita jnana. What happened to that knowledge where he was preaching and telling that actually the soul is eternal, the body is temporary, and then he is performing an austerity which is absolutely opposite. That means he actually has no realization of what he spoke there. He used whatever is necessary to get things done. If quoting Vedic scriptures was necessary, he quoted it. But he had no realization. Otherwise he wouldn't have acted otherwise. So, alertness. Apashyatam. Pashyannapi na pashyati. Whereas the devotees of the Lord, they may be engaged in materialistic activity, seemingly materialistic activity. They may be taking great responsibilities in this world. They may be doing totally seemed absorbed in their responsibilities. But because they are always doing it for the Supreme Lord, they are always alert. 24 hours alert.
example is given by Shukadeva Goswami himself of Maharaj Khatwanga. Maharaj Khatwanga was a powerful warrior, so powerful that actually the demigods invited him to fight for them against the demons. Maharaj Khatwanga went and fought and actually defeated the demons. The demigods were so pleased, they gave him a benediction. Please ask for anything. We will offer anything that you ask, whatever we can give. The first thing that Maharaj Khatwanga asked, how much time do I have to live? Now, who can think, he's absorbed, Muchukunda fought, but he wanted to sleep. Somebody else might fight, and when the demigods are pleased, he may ask for something. But here is someone, he's asking, he says, how much time do I have to live? They said, one muhurta. Immediately he left the heavenly planets. He was there. He could have asked to permanently stay in the same atmosphere. But he's telling, I want to go, because there is too much distraction and temptation here. I want to go to a place where I can totally absorb myself. So he was alert about his absorption. He said, I want to absorb myself in dedicating myself to the Lord. He came, he absorbed himself and perfected his life. It could not have happened had he not been alert throughout his life. As we say, life is a preparation, death is the examination. If you are not alert throughout your life to keep Krishna in the center of your activities, it's impossible to keep Krishna at the center at the end. Because we are told, responsibility generally leads to attachment. And if you are detached, you become irresponsible. How to be responsible yet detached? Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiyah lipyatena sapapena padmapatram ivambasa. Parikshit Maharaj, emperor of the whole world, ekarat. He was unrivaled. But immediately when he got the notice, you have only 7 days, he was alert to the prime duty of life. Prabhupada explains, what is alertness to what? Alertness to preparing for the next life. This life is simply a preparation for the next life. Just like when a student enters a college and takes 1 year course, the main purpose he has gone to take the course is to go to the next class or to the next whatever, admission, entrance into some other course. Therefore he has taken this. And the result is what percentage he gets. He is considering only 2 things. What percentage I'll get and whether I'll get entrance into what I want. That's the main purpose. Similarly, human life is preparing the best possible situation for next life. That is alertness. And that is the prime duty. Because we have very short time. Time is flying away. So we have to be alert to the imperceptible passage of time with regard to what is the prime duty. And the prime duty is a better situation in next life. And that is only possible when you have true knowledge of what is the best possible situation. And because he was alert, but he was alert to the wrong thing. And therefore his absorption and his activities, moghasha, mogha karmano, mogha jnana, moghasha, all his hopes were shattered of becoming eternal. Mogha karmano, all his endeavors were futile. Mogha jnana, all his so-called knowledge were ultimately proved futile. Because Rakshatim Asurim Chaiva Prakriti Mohinim Shataha, absorbed in this consciousness. This is regard Hiranyakashipu. Another point that Srila Prabhupada makes is, no one in the three world can live in peace and prosperity without disturbance. If we realize this fact, if we realize this one sentence, no one in the three worlds can live in peace and prosperity without disturbance. So, why strive for peace and prosperity in this world? You will be disturbed. Unless, there's only one way. And that one way is, you may live in this world, but you transcend. You know, peace is not in this world. Peace is only possible. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvalokam maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanti mrichati. You can attain peace only if you know Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, supreme proprietor, and the well-wishing friend of every living. Therefore, the endeavor should be to achieve this. And what is real prosperity? One who has wealth is prosperous. And what is the greatest wealth? Wealth is judged by how much purchasing power you have. Purchasing power, that is the wealth. Otherwise, what is the use? If all these currency notes are derecognized tomorrow, then what is the use of amassing? Many years ago, when I think 1,000 rupee notes were there and all that, it was derecognized. Overnight. And suddenly in the next few days, in the Hundi in Tirupati, crores of rupees were being donated. And all were 1,000 rupee notes. And above denominations. They anyway derecognized now, no purchasing power. Let us give it to Krishna. It's just like puffed rice, you know, you want to eat and suddenly a wind comes and blows it away. Anyway, it's going away. Krishna arpanamastu. So real prosperity is purchasing power. And what is the highest thing? Currency. Bhakti. Why? Because it can purchase the Lord Himself. If the Lord is yours, everything, His whole creation is yours. Of course, that's not the motive by which a devotee does that. But it is a byproduct. So because it purchases the Lord, it's the greatest currency. That is real prosperity. Therefore, and such a person, here they are demigods, living in their, what they actually aspired for in life. They got everything. Such a beautiful palace and wonderful association of beautiful damsels, but still they are miserable. Actually, the same description of palace and everything and beautiful damsels moving about occurs even in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where there is description of the kingdom of God. Same, almost similar. But there is one difference. People are happy, blissful, and satisfied. And even if the sense gratification is there, if for a second they forget the Lord, they curse that. Khanda. If their consciousness is just 1 second, so much wonderful sense gratification, they forget the Lord even for a moment, they curse themselves. Vrinda, there's another one verse. So, it's all there, but only thing is, it's a state of consciousness. So really, Krishna consciousness helps us to transcend the dualities. Whether it is a very beautiful place, or a very difficult place, or an austere place, or a poor place, doesn't really make a difference for a devotee. Because all these are basically, in one sense, in a mental platform. And if the mind is not satisfied, then you are miserable. You may be in a palace, but you are the most miserable person. But if you are satisfied, it doesn't matter where you are in a spiritual world. Like Kolavecha Sridhar. Kolavecha Sridhar, from an external point of view, was very poor. Thatched hut, and that also had many holes. His cloth had many holes in it. Very poor man from all material standards. But he was so blissful. And when the Lord actually asked him during the Satprahariya Leela, And Mahaprabhu was giving benediction to everyone and anyone, whatever they asked. He asked Kolavecha Sridhar, what do you want? Actually, in between, you know, once, as Nimai Pandit, he would go and provoke him. What is this, Kolavecha? All your neighbors are so prosperous. They are worshipping Chandi. Why don't you do? And Kolavecha Sridhar spoke from his heart. He said, the king with all his opulences and a bird also has its own cloth and, you know, it has its feathers. He's also happy and the king is also. So, be satisfied with what the Lord has given. It is said, one who has received Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy, Kaivalyam narakayate tridashapura akashapushpayate durdantendriya kala sarpapatali Vishwam purna sukhayate. From Brahmaloka down to the Pataloka, wherever you put him, Vishwam, whole material creation, which is supposed to be always disturbance, Vishwam purna sukhayate. Put him anywhere. He is fearless and he has no anxiety. Narayana parasarvena kutaschana swarga apavarga narakeshu apitulyartha darshina. So these are very, very high philosophy that we are speaking. But those aspirations should motivate or drive us, inspire us to actually move towards that. Move towards us. And that is the whole practice of Krishna consciousness. How to move towards that state of consciousness, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Otherwise you are like I was in Kolhapur a few days back and they had this Bakrid. That was also another festival. Some other Hindu festival also was going on one side, and the whole traffic, huge goats, well-built goats, and they were nicely decorated and put some decorations and all that, and these people were taking. I said, what is this festival? He says, they're going to cut it today. Actually, they bring a week before, and they nicely feed it, and they, you know, check, cuddle it and check it, seeing how much muscle is there. Just like a mother also, you know, nicely dresses the child and cuddles it and sometimes tests, you know, either eating properly, getting some good muscles. They are doing the same thing. But what's the motive? How strong is he? So that much I can enjoy. So demigod situation is like this. Poor fellows. Everything beautiful. Vaidurya Mani, everything is there. But there is Hiranyakashipu. But because demigods are intelligent, they are not like goats. The goats are poor thinking, oh, such a nice person. I was loitering in the forest, looking for little grass, and here is a person regularly feeding me, regularly taking care of me. So nicely I have become very strong. He doesn't see. Pashyanapina Pashyati. But the demigods are intelligent, and therefore, even though all the situation is there, they are miserable. Because severely, the demigods, however, being very much oppressed, had to bow down and offer obeisance at the feet of Hiranyakashipu, who chastised demigods very severely for no reason. They are actually very obedient people. Devata means obedient to the lotus feet. They are always looking. Yattad Vishnoho paramam padam sada pashyanti suraya. But now Vishnu's place is occupied by Hiranyakashipu, angry. This description is there. No, it's in the previous one, yeah. That he is, yeah. 12th, eh? Okay, huh. Abhivandya. Angry. You know, they are they have to see the two lotus feet, yugah, yugala charana, but of Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, their tremendous in great anxiety. So these are a few thoughts about how we can extract the essence from these purports, and by seeing it practically through other examples and sources, we can develop our own conviction of these facts that real austerity is actually to glorify the Lord, and full conviction that trying to find peace and prosperity without actually keeping Krishna in the center of our lives is futile. So that will actually motivate us, that will drive us to take up devotion seriously. And also the fact that if you are not alert, we have to be active anyway. We have to be absorbed. We have to be alert. But only thing is, let's change the focus of the subject matter. That's all. You don't have to do that. Krishna consciousness. Consciousness is there. But just turn it to Krishna. Keep Krishna the center. Yesterday, when Narasingha Maharaj was speaking, Bhakti Vignesh Narasingha Maharaj was speaking, one thing, again and again he was saying, Krishna consciousness. Consciousness. Work towards this. And hopefully we'll become more serious that way. Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments? One we can take. Yes, Brajvihari Prabhu. One last question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for an amazingly brilliant class. You are explaining that this triple A, you are saying it makes a lot of sense. But you said that this triple A is just like triple S. So I was wondering what that triple S is.
Satyam Shivam Sundaram. I don't know. We should, what's it called?
Okay. The question I had in mind was that this activity, absorption and alertness. So this applies to Krishna consciousness we are performing, but we hear that 99% of our spiritual life is dependent on chanting. So I was just trying to connect it. How, you know, in chanting also we can use this, in a sense, how we can be absorbed, and is there a difference between being absorbed and alert during chanting, or is it same? If we simply keep hearing the holy name, that is sufficient. What is there something more to it?
Actually, in first canto, fourth chapter, I think, this 20th verse, where idam hi Vishnu, no, after that, the description of Sankirtan, Kirtan, Shuta tapasya, idam hi Shutaya tapasya buddhi dattayo, avichit tortham kavibhir nirupito, yad uttamashloka gunanu vadana, or something like that, vartana. In that, Srila Prabhupada says, what is Sankirtan? Glorification of the Lord. Is actually everything. Our activity, our absorption and alertness. Glorification of the Lord means Sankirtan, Kirti Gan, to glorify the Lord. So you can use, what is this? This temple is basically glorifying the Lord. The more nice you make this temple, it's actually glorifying, because it is the, just like a darbar or palace. This is the, what do you say, assembly. This is the assembly hall of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when we come, if you see, actually, you know, these old movies, if you watch, when people come to offer, they come like this, you know, right from there. And when they go, they just go on doing like this and walk back. I don't know if you have seen some, you know, sometimes. So I felt it was overdoing it. But they go on doing this and then walk back. That means they never face their back to the king. So when you walk into the assembly of the king, the main center focus is he.
Everything is centered around Him. If you are speaking, we have to speak about Him. If you have to speak something, go elsewhere. This is not the place. So all our activity, all our absorption, all our, it's actually glorification of the Lord. Everything is actually glorification of the Lord. We can use everything. In fact, the whole purpose of creation is only one thing. It's a training how not to use it for yourself, but use it for the glorification of the Lord. We have some facility given to us. We have some ability given to us. And we have some time at our disposal. And we have been given this gift of some facility, some ability, and some time. Whatever is with you at your disposal, where you invest it is where your heart is. Where are you investing it? Krishna sees that. If you invest it, wherever you invest it, He will give you more of that. So if you are investing it in for what it is actually meant for, then He will give you a place, better place, where you can eternally get any amount you want. So, actually chanting of the Holy Name means this. And that comes, first of all, by hearing. Shrotavyam kirtitavyascha dheya pujyascha nityada. Immediately after this, three verses is that. Because Parikshit Maharaj is asking, where, what should I hear about? What should I, whom should I glorify? Whom should I worship? So whomever you hear about, you start glorifying. Whom you always glorify, you start remembering. Whomever you remember always with love and devotion, you surrender. Ultimately, you end up worshipping them. So therefore, the most important beginning is, whom are you hearing about? Therefore, tat me shrunu, as Krishna says in the 7th chapter. Prabhupada maximum spoke on 7.1. Many words. And he would always, maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashre, asamshayam samagrammam yatha gyasati tat shrunu. The whole process of devotion begins with hearing. If you hear from a proper source, with a proper attitude, you have to glorify Him. We want to worship some heroes. So the best hero is Krishna. You start glorifying. And His qualities are so wonderful that you cannot, if you are constantly hearing and glorifying, you start remembering Him always. Because you love Him. And when you remember Him, you cannot but worship Him, because there is no one equal to Him or above Him. And that is the perfection of life. Akuto bhayam. Such a person becomes fearless. So yes, 99% comes from holy name, but kirtan comes after hearing. And real kirtan means everything is kirtan. We are dancing is also kirtan. We are glorifying the Lord. So everything we do is in that sense kirtan. And our basic sadhana of chanting is to prepare our consciousness for the rest of the day also. We can utilize all our ability, facility and time in His glorification. Sankirtan, in that sense. So, and because that gives the motivation for the rest of the things, that is the most important. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Gaur Premanand ki.